Welcome, everybody, to the night that this is. Amen. Youth and kids, you guys know the drill. You know what we did yesterday. Come on down to the front. Let's have a little dance party. We all know the song, I Thank God. We're not dancing for us. All right? Remember what we're dancing for. We're not dancing. It doesn't matter who's around us, who's looking at us, but I thank God, right? Let my dance moves glorify God. Let that little shimmy like the hit glorify God, right? Let's remember what we're doing this for, all right? Come on, all right.
Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul.
Come on, come on. Sing it out, sing it out.
This bag of bones. I try with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond. Just when I ran out of hope, I met a man I didn't know, and he told me that I was not alone. Got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning.
Like what? Like what?
Like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friends. Burning and bitterness.
You can't just keep it moving.
From now till I walk the streets of love, I sing about you, save my soul. This wayward son has found his way back home. Pick me up, turn me around, make my feet on solid ground. I am the master, I am the savior.
I want you guys to sing it like you mean it. Alright? Let's sing it like it's true, so we know it is. Come on. It goes like this.
Hell lost another one. I am free.
I'm what?
I am.
Can you scream it out? I'm free!
Hell lost another one.
Come on!
Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free.
Come on.
Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free.
Another one.
I am free.
I'm free.
I am free.
You're free.
I am free.
Come above. Hell on another. Woo! And you're free. New. We're all free in the name of Jesus, right? Come on. Let's see. He picked me up. Come on. He picked me up. He turned me around. He takes my feet on solid ground. Can we just, did you see all these young people praising Jesus? Oh, man, I tell you, if that doesn't warm your heart, and we got, I mean, most of our worship team is under 25, so, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Thank you. Praise God. All right. So, my name is Matthew York. I am, like I said, I have the privilege of being the pastor closest to Shady Maple Smorgasbord, so you are welcome to visit my church. So, anyway, am I good? Tis Thornton. You know what, let's go with the handheld. Bye, there we go. I have the privilege of being your MC tonight, so let's go over some of these announcements, but I'm glad you're all here. For any visitors, you've missed a couple of nights of some activities. Really great worship from Jonathan Weibel. He was fantastic, and we got some good stuff in store for you tonight. So welcome. Let's go to the first slide. If you can go to the next one for me. You can purchase a Family Camp t-shirt for $20 at the Snack Shack. It is down. It's the red building off to the our right here. So go on down there for $20. You can get a camp t-shirt. Go ahead. Go to the next one. Parents, I think you're already connected. If you're already connected, please connect yourself to the GroupMe app so you can stay in tune with what Zach's doing with our kids. Where's Zach? There, Zach, you are doing a great job with our teens. I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Go to the next one, next one, next one. Go to the next one for me, please. All right, our cornhole champions. Cornhole champions. All right, I want to give an honorable mention to Sue Street and AJ Stump in second place. That's for the under 13. Yep. Kelly and Chris Jones for the adults, honorable mention. Nice job. But right now, I need to see Glenn and Jackson Smith. I need to see, come on up. I need to see Rob and Tyler come on up. Come on up. This is the belt, the Summit Grove Cornhole Championship belt that I put together with stuff from the thrift store, by the way. So here you go. Get a pic. Somebody can take a picture for me. Come up. Get a picture for me, Terry. Nice job. Oh, man, it was a lot of fun. I will say the reigning champions, Mathin and Matthew York, got ejected in the first round. So, oh, stop. Really? All right, next slide. Let's keep going. All right, there's a Mario Kart tournament happening in the youth tab afterwards. So bring your best A game and show them what's up. So as you're showing them what old school is, if you've played on the Nintendo 63... Anyway, all right, let's keep going. See Math and York about that. Let's keep going. Go to the next slide for me. All right, hey, as much fun as we're having, tomorrow night is a great night. It's one of my favorite nights here at Summit Grove. It's our healing service. And so, as much as I can be funny, I have a real heart for seeing people healed.
for the power of Jesus, that we can invoke the name. Because, listen, if you're not a continuation, if you don't believe that God still heals, I feel sorry for you. Because I truly believe that there's a Savior who truly still heals today. Amen? Amen. So, please, come tomorrow night. I'm going to have prayer teams set up for healing and anointing with oil. We believe that. That comes right out of the Bible. That's right out of James. So we want to offer that service to you. So if there's something that you just long to be healed or just bring before Jesus, we want to offer that for you. That's tomorrow night. So please come and come ready to pray and come ready to seek the Lord. It's going to be a wonderful time. All right, let's keep going. All right, family camp offering. I'm going to let Jeff talk about that so you can go to the next slide for me. All right, water activities. That slide is amazing. And we have a special thing tomorrow happening around 2 o'clock. Is that right? So I can't tell you what it is, but we have another water activity happening around 2 o'clock out there in the field. Come and see what it is. It's going to be a while. I'm not telling you what it is, but so let's call it a teaser. So come see what it is. So anyway, all right, let's keep going. Morning prayer right here, 7:30 in the morning. It's a great time to start off your morning. It meets right here in the tab, so please come join us. Next one, snack shack hours. So just so you know, if you're visiting here tonight, after the service, there will be, we have a peach or mango. What do we got tonight? Peach slushies there. By the way, has anybody had the Summit Grove sundae? My recommendation, get chocolate with the crushed Oreos. It's like, you remember what Paul talked about, the third heaven? Like, we should actually call that the Paul Sunday, because like when he talks about being in the third heaven, I think he had a Summit Grove Sunday. All right, let's keep going. All right, Ira Towns is doing a great job. Come see him 10:30 in the morning. He's going over our identity in Christ, and he spoke out of the book of Ruth today. It was powerful. So from what I heard, I was doing my sermon, though. So from what I heard. Let's keep going. I think we have some updates for what's coming up. Oh, and here, but tonight we have a special visitor. The 13th president of the Christian Missionary Alliance is here. I'll let you welcome him. I don't know how we bribed somebody to get him here. I'm not sure how that happened. Anyway, let's keep going. Next year, keep going. I think we have another one. Next year, our evening speaker is Peak Brockup. So, good stuff. And then if you go to the next one, our Bible Hour speaker will be Dr. Frank Chan of the former Alliance University and NIAC College, just so you know. So anyway, you can clap for him. Thank you. Our former NIAC people are not awful people, you know. Like we're human, too. But anyway, all right, let's keep going. Tomorrow we have J and H from Bayside. I don't want to say their name. We are recording this, so this is how I do things. So please be aware, you can listen to J and H. They are in Creative Access, and if you don't know what Creative Access is, they are out there in a place where they are serving God, where we cannot talk about it publicly because it could endanger the work that is happening overseas. So please come tomorrow at 10:45, come and hear J&H. You're going to get an opportunity to hear what's happening there. All right, next one. All right, please go to Instagram, share your photos of what's going on here. It's a great way to get the publicity out, what's happening here at the camp. And I think we are just about ready to wrap up because I think we have our thrift store. Keep going. Follow on Facebook. Go to the next one. Okay, come find your treasures at the thrift store, so you know what that means. It's time for... All right. Who wants to come on down? Who wants to come on down? Red shirt, come on down. Come on down. April, come on down. You, young man in the blue shirt, come on down. This side. Come on down. Gray shirt, come on down. All right, welcome, all right. I found this item in the thrift store. Let me show you what it is, and then Mike's going to give us the description. Here we are. Mike, can you tell us about this item?
Create a delicious home frozen treat with the Novastar four-quart ice cream machine. Featuring easy classic wood bucket design. Okay, there's too much.
All right. I need your best guess of original retail price. Original retail price. Are you ready?
$15.
$15.
$25.
$75.
$75. April.
$76.
Original retail price. $59.99. There you go. All right, there you go. All right. You can find that and more at the thrift store. At the thrift store. Eric.
Let's start throwing out car keys into the crowd during worship. Hey, let's stand together. Again, when we focus our heart's affection and mind's attention on who God is and what He's done for us, that brings us to worship, to the space of worship. So let me hear you say it nice and loud tonight. I asked it the first night, so repeat after me. Heart.
Heart.
Head.
Head.
Jesus.
Jesus.
That can happen anywhere. Not just at a camp, not just at big conferences or concerts or worship services on Sunday, but this is the lifestyle of worship that's brought up in Romans 12, 1 and 2. This conscious decision to choose Jesus. Put Him on our hearts and minds and what He's done for us. Let's continue to worship.
Tonight for the rest of the week.
and we're not asking for anything. Kind of how we talked about yesterday, but we're really just here for the Spirit to come and dwell in this place and dwell in each and every one of us, right?
Holy Spirit, come rest over. You're all we want. You're all we want. Holy Spirit, come rest over. You're all we want. You're all we want.
I just want to read you the first verse. It goes, I am an instrument of exaltation. I was born to lift your name above all names. You hear the melody of all of this creation, but there's a song that only I can bring. I just want you to think about the messages that we've been hearing so far this week and think about how you can give yourself to the Lord to be an instrument of His exaltation, and how you can give that praise that only you individually can give Him. Let's sing this.
I am an instrument of exaltation, and I was born to lift your name above all names. You hear the melody of all creation, but there's a song of praise that only I can bring. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only Jesus. You are the instrument, God of the ages. And yet you chose to make my heart your dwelling place. You healed my brokenness, showed me your glory. So I have songs of things not even angels sing. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who
You prove to us the Father's love. Jesus Christ be lifted up. Holy, holy Lamb of God, anointed one, who was and is and is to come, who's seated on the throne above. Holy, holy, righteous one who shed his blood. You prove to us the Father's love. Jesus Christ be lifted up. Holy, holy Lamb of God, anointed one, who was and is.
Thank you again, worship team. There is no one worthy but Jesus. And we can have a personal relationship with him. How awesome is that? Worthy is the Lamb who is slain. Worthy to receive power and honor and glory and praise. And we want to praise him tonight. Thank you again, worship team. Well, I'm back here again, which means we still need some more money to meet our goal. So I'm going to go through the whole spiel again. We've got some new people coming in for the second half of the week, and some people have been asking, how's this all work with the money, Summit Grove, Eastern District, what's going on? So just for clarity, and I'll introduce myself, I'm Jeff Zarafoss. I'm the treasurer for the Family Camp Committee. We're kind of like a subcommittee inside the Eastern PA District that kind of put together the program for Family Camp. And we'll be thanking the committee members here later in the week. But we serve with the Eastern District and the Mid-Atlantic District to work through the programming. So that's why the offering goes to the Eastern District, because we pay all the expenses of Family Camp through there. Summit Grove is providing the facilities. So if you're staying here, the lodging, the meals, if you're buying meals, Summit Grove is getting those expenses. But the Eastern District essentially writes one check over to Summit Grove to pay for that portion.
And the Eastern District pays all the bills, the honorariums, the travel expenses, you know, that kind of stuff, the supplies needed for children's ministry. So that all goes through the Eastern PA District's books, and I'm glad. So thank Jeff Heineman and his assistant, because that's a world of bookkeeping for a very small staff here at Summit Grove. So it's easier for Summit Grove to grab one check from the Eastern District to pay the expenses accommodations. So that's how that works. I won't say that again. I won't bore you with that. But some people were asking, why are we doing Eastern District? So that's why. So again, if you would like to give tonight, checks in the baskets that will be coming, checks payable to Eastern PA District, cash in there. There's QR codes posted throughout the tabernacle. If you want to give online, you can do that, and people have been finding that as well. So that's working for this week. We're at $4,650, so we're a little lagging last year's pace. Again, we finished up on Thursday, and again, here, let's finish up tonight. Next, or tomorrow night, these guys get an extra song, right? You enjoying the worship? You want another song? Write the check tonight. Don't wait. The flip side is, if we don't get the money, guess who's coming up tomorrow night? Mr. York will be up here begging and pleading. So if you don't want to see that, then give tonight. So that's my plea. Friday night again, we're going to do an offering for the IWs and the workers that are speaking during the morning session. So we want to bless them with an offering. If you can't be here Friday night and you want to give tonight, check, write IWs in the memo line, and we'll make sure that gets credited towards that offering. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. After we're done singing as normal, children, or after I'm done praying, we start the song. Children can be dismissed. Got children's workers in the back. Take them to the lodge, and then worship team will lead us. So, Lord, we thank you again for your many blessings. We just thank you for the blessing of family camp and being here this week, and what a great time of community and just sharing together and in meals and around the fire and just everything else that makes the Christian life such an enriching time. Being together, spending time studying God's Word, learning from each other, encouraging each other, praying for each other. Just what a great week. So, Lord, bless our time. Bless this evening. Bless Jonathan as he comes to bring the message. We're just going to trust you for our financial needs, that you'll meet the needs of family camp so that we can keep doing this year over year. So, again, we trust you, Lord, and we bless your name this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see. To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart. Yeah.
Begin to stand and lift praise.
Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Hear our prayer, God. You are holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. I want to see. You are holy. You are holy, holy. You are holy. Spirit's here, dwells amongst us, and I just feel this prompting right now. If you feel like your eyes have just not been open to what God wants to see you, you feel like you've been struggling, you feel like something's been in the way, would you just lift your hands to the heaven as we sing that one more time? Lift them around this room. If that's your prayer right now, if you've just been feeling stuck and you can't feel or see what God's trying to speak to you in that, that when you would sing this one more time, that this posture would just be representing you reaching out. So lift your hands as we sing one more time, if that's your prayer tonight. Sing it out. And open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart.
more time. Open my eyes, Lord. And open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. It's our prayer, Lord. It's our prayer tonight. We're just seeking your presence, seeking your goodness in the way you can only move. And we know you. We've seen you move before in your faithfulness, your goodness. Would you do it again? We love you, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated.
So I have the absolute privilege to introduce to all of you Jonathan and Mary Schaefer. And Jonathan is the 13th president of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. So Jonathan, brother, and Mary, would you come up? I don't think you need any introductions, but I'll allow you to introduce yourself here.
Oh, that's great. So, grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, the sixth of nine children, and had a mom and dad who loved Jesus and would go to camp. Where we were is Beulah Beach. And, okay, someone from Beulah Beach over here, great. How about for Summit Grove? Can I hear the rest of you? All right. But I realized at a young age, there was death entered into my world. One of my best friends drowned in an accident, and another tragedy with someone in front of our house who died being hit by a car. And I was petrified of death. But Jesus rescued me. And it says in Hebrews 2 that he came and he shared our humanity so that the power of death could be broken. And he did that for me, and it's been a great relationship. It zigzags like we all have, right? But I'm really grateful. And God blessed me with a friend and partner in following him 38 years ago. She was 12 and I was 22. But anyhow, that's my story.
So, yeah, we're glad to be here. Y'all are fun. You're fun. And we've only been here. We got here like just before dinner time. And already we just feel like just such a sense of joy here. And it's so great to be here with you. We prayed before the worship team and we joined in up here. And one of the things that they prayed for was joy in this place. And it's just been so fun to see that firsthand. So we're thrilled to be here.
I wanted to say a couple things I really love, by the way. You're those who are leading worship. Wow, to see all the young adults. Fantastic. It was really, really neat. We're seeing it around the country, just God stirring in the hearts of young adults, but to see you up here. And then also the friendliness for which we are welcome to camp, how clean the camp is, and then the food tonight was fantastic. Yeah, so it was a really great, great introduction for us to be here. Summit Grove for the very first time. Can we introduce our family to you? I think we've got a picture up here, and we might want to come down here, Mary, so we can see you a little bit. But you'll see here, this was taken 3 months ago. We have five adult children, and we have four grandkids. I'll just start off on the left. That's our daughter number four, Anna. She is just moved a month ago to Mexico. She works in Monterrey for the State Department of the U.S. at a consulate there. Then Xavier and Joy, they just moved. Four of our kids and we moved here. And Xavier and Joy, he is a resident at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, so actually in this district. And Joy, they have a little boy, Desmond, so we actually stopped there on the way here. It's not really on the way, but went from Ohio to Philadelphia and back. But it's always on the way when you're trying to see your grandkids, right?
The grandchild magnet is so strong.
That's right, yeah. And then Mary and me, and then the newlyweds, Andrew and Allie, they are both in they met at the Air Force Academy, and they got married, and this was in Houston, Texas, and they are now living in Yorktown, Virginia.
And then the next one you see there is my mom. My mom is 83 next month, and she runs circles around me. She's a counselor. She still works full-time. And I'll just tell you real quickly, this guy grew up in the Waltons family. Okay, so you guys know the Waltons family, some of you, right? Wholesome and, you know, dinner together every night and everything's really nice. I grew up in the Addams family. How much more different could we be in the homes that we grew up in? So my mom was a single mom from the time she grew up in a home. Both of her parents were alcoholics. She started on drugs and alcohol at a young age. Married my dad, who was an alcoholic. They got divorced when I was four. So my mom, from the age of 25, was a single mom with a four-year-old and a baby and an alcohol problem. And so it was just kind of crazy. She got remarried. My stepfather was a drug addict. It was crazy in our home. But I will tell you, God used that to draw me to himself. And when I was in college and someone showed me what the Bible says, that I could have a father, I found my Heavenly Father and my life dramatically changed. So praise God. So anyhow, that's my mom in the picture there. I should tell you that part too. I met the Lord in college. God worked in a wonderful way in my mom's life, and she jumped in both feet and has been following him wholeheartedly ever since. So I could tell you so much more. My dad, God brought him to himself right before he died at the age of 57. Both of my brothers, I could go on for a long time, but I can tell you this, God is so good, so good. And this is why you don't give me the mic, right? So I'll finish up. Next one, our oldest child, Lauren, her husband, Brad, he's a helicopter pilot, search and rescue for the Coast Guard. They now live in Alabama. Teddy and Ellie, they're standing with them. Teddy just turned 5, Ellie's 2.5, and baby Lucy is weeks after the wedding, and Teddy calls her Woosy, and Ellie calls her Woohoo. So, and she's super sweet. And then on the end, Nate and Kayla, they live in Denver, and he got all the hair in the family. So there they are. That's our family.
I'm going to ask you one more question before you go, just 1 second. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about what are some of the encouraging things that are happening in the National and Global Christian Missionary Alliance. And God is just, you're part of a family. Just, even if you don't attend an Alliance church, Summit Grove, this group is part of a family of about 24,000 churches around the world. And what God is doing in 88 different countries, all started in New York City with like 7 or 8 people around a stove one winter night. And God has been doing great things ever since. As he answered that prayer, Holy Spirit, come and fill us. But let me just ask one last question. So what do you think about the Alliance after just 11 months since we came into this role? How are you feeling?
I will tell you, I loved the Christian Missionary Alliance a year ago. We had been in the Alliance for a long time. We were in pastoral ministry for a long time, 35 years before coming into this role. And we loved the Alliance. Over the last year, we have grown to love the Alliance even more. To see what God is doing through your, if you're part of the Alliance, you are part of something amazing. God is at work in the U.S. Did you know that the Alliance, it's okay if I tell this now? The Alliance has churches, people in 88 countries around the world. God is doing something. So you'll talk more about that tomorrow night. Yeah, we can give the Lord a hand. He's amazing. Yeah. And I'll just say one more thing I'm excited about. Coming in here tonight and worshiping with that young worship team, y'all are fantastic. We loved worshiping with you, and that's one of the things that we're seeing different places that we're going is young people leading us, and we're so excited about that.
That's great. All right. Thank you. Hey, I have one bit of serious business before we dig into God's Word. They sent me here actually to make an announcement we probably opened the gate too wide for certain workers in the Alliance. And some actually know, they'll even comment like, I probably should be fired, you know, or whatever. But specifically, it was about 10 years ago, There was a guy that we somehow, he sneaked in. And we met as a board of directors, and we just did a lot of background information. And it's time to give someone the pink slip tonight. And I'm just going to ask Matt. Matt, would you come on down here? Matt, come on down. We always start. Come on all the way up here. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I was going to say, Matt, I was going to give you the pink slip. But look at that. Got to turn these around here. Matt, I thought I was told by the board of directors that if there was enough support for you, you could keep your job. And I don't know. It looks like
I think I can.
I was set up tonight, and but you know what? Matt, the more I realize why they can, you only tease the people you love, right? And when you know that, wow, we've got a gift in somebody, and as I watch Matt lead up here, his pastoral nature, his fun, enthusiasm, leading a prayer time before the service, encouraging people, where did you go back to, Matt? You are a gift, yeah. And Tabitha, and watching your son up here, yeah, very, very grateful for you. So thank you. You're not fired. All the support you got here, yeah, you're good. All right, so Mary and I sometimes see things from a little bit different perspective. So let me just tell you a story tonight. I like to bike, and we were in Cleveland before I was sent out from Grace Church in Cleveland, Ohio, to my new role. Cleveland's got problems, but one thing they do well is their park system and their bike trails. So I'm riding with one of my kids, and we're riding along. And as we're riding, I see this Krispy Kreme donut on the trail. I mean, it was like, this is manna from heaven, right? This is a gift. I mean, the gift of God. So I say, hey, let's stop. And we stop, and I'm like, look at this, kids. This is amazing. So I go to pick it up, and my wife goes, you're not going to do that. And I go, what's wrong? I said, it's a perfectly good donut. And she said, that is not a perfectly good donut. She goes, that has germs all over. And I go, show me one of them. Just show me one of them right here before I take a bite of this juicy thing. She won the battle that day. And she was right. And it was one of those times that she reminded all of us once again that just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not what? It's not real, right? I want to talk about that tonight, but let me just tell you a couple more things, because in so much of life, we have this sense that, you know, it's what these eyes can see, but there's so much of life that even if you can't see it, we say it's real. So let's just do a few more. We were with our daughter at a mall. She came to visit us in Columbus. And we walk in and she goes, is there an Auntie Anne's in here? How did she know it? I was around the corner. It was just simply the what? The aroma, right? Can you see aroma? No, you can't. You can't see aroma at all. But just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. About gravity, I spilled my coffee the other day, and as I mistakenly hit, I didn't wonder, like, you know, I wonder if the coffee's going to go up or is it going to go down like this time. I knew what was going to happen, right? Because the law of gravity, can you see gravity? You can't see gravity, but just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. Let me share one more. If we could picture what this room is like, it would look something like this right here. If you could visualize the invisible in this room, you know what that is? Those are like electromagnetic waves. And all throughout this room, there are all kinds of electromagnetic waves that are going through. And if you wanted a proof as to how, if someone had a little radio and turned on the radio, that antenna would connect with some of those electromagnetic waves, and what would you have? You'd hear some kind of baseball game or your favorite song on the radio or whatever it might be. Just because you can't see that doesn't mean it's not real, right? Friends, when you and I, this is so true in the spiritual world, when you and I can begin to just grasp that there's so much that these physical eyes can't see, but when I can be aware of spiritual and visible realities, I live better. When God answers that prayer, we say, open the eyes of my heart, and we begin to see Him for who He really is. We say, high and lifted up, right? Or we say, we know where that He's present among us, that there's something that we live better, we have His perspective on life, our faith grows. Here's what the Bible affirms. There are unseen powers all around us, invisible forces. Most of us would say, yeah, I believe that. I don't think probably anybody here, if you're a follower of Jesus, would say, yeah, I don't really think invisible realities exist. But here's what I have to ask myself. Do I live like it's true? Do I live like it's true? How often am I aware of the invisible realities that are all around me? As you walked over here tonight, was there a sense of, man, there's angels all around here. There's demonic powers. The Lord Himself, two or three gather in His name. There's something about His manifest presence, right, that is among us. You read the Bible and you begin to see that one of the secrets to effective living, to victory over temptation, to a sense of having a prayer life where you just go, I talk to Him all the time because I know He's with me, comes back to believing that these invisible realities are true. So that's our theme for these few days here, to see the invisible, to see the invisible. So can we turn to 2 Kings chapter 6? 2 Kings chapter 6, if you haven't read this historical account recently, such a good reminder for us. There are two individuals that are really used by God greatly in this season of Israel's life, Elijah and Elisha, who experienced the supernatural at a time when few people were seeking God. So overall, it was a dark time. Dark time. Hard time to be a follower of God. You might remember Ahab and a lot of others who were sort of like it is in some places today. And these two individuals are a powerful example to us. So here's the historical context for 2 Kings chapter 6. Nation of Israel is in danger of a larger and more powerful neighboring country, the Arameans. But whenever the Arameans begin to attack, the prophet Elisha tells the king of Israel the location of where the Arameans are going to, you know, come in. So you can imagine the king of Aram is less than happy about this. And instead of going after Israel as a whole, he says, if I can just take out that one-man intel operation, Elisha, then we'll be good. So that's where we are as we come to 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to read this in a second, but can we just pray? And let me just ask the Lord again to speak to us tonight. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank You that You are here among us. We sang a little bit ago and said, Holy Spirit, would You come now and fill us? I'm here and I know You will fill me. Would You open our eyes tonight? Father, thank You for the gift of Your Word. Would You teach us through Your living and active Word and help us to see our own lives more clearly? Help us to see You in every circumstance. And Lord, I pray that You would allow our walk with You to grow as a result of looking into Your Word even tonight. In Your name we pray. Amen. All right, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 13. Here's what happens. It says this. This is the king of Aram speaking. It says, go, find out where he is. That is Elisha, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Remember, Elisha's got a servant. We think it's his servant Gehazi. And here's what he says. Oh, no, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. What happened to them happens to all of us at one time or another, right? And really, really repeated times. And it's this, we're surrounded by trouble and we're sort of like, Lord, what do we do? What am I going to do in this situation? Today it won't likely be an actual army, right? Instead, it might be a financial crisis. It could be some kind of diagnosis that you receive when you go to the doctor. It could be a crumbling relationship. It might be a child that is going through a rough spot, and you just go, God, I don't know what to do. Lord, what do we do? What do we do? And you sort of ask the same question that this servant asks here in verse 15. Looking up to heaven and saying, God, I don't know what to do. Have you been there? When maybe you feel like this, I'm no match for this crisis. I feel outnumbered. I feel like there's no way of escape. So how does seeing the invisible make a difference in such times? Let's see how this historical account continues, what Elisha tells his servant. Here's what he tells him in verse 16. He says, "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Here's what he's saying. He's saying, yes, we are surrounded by a crisis, but there's something else. You need to see the bigger picture, right? You need to see the invisible. And here's what I wonder. I wonder if this servant is like, man, Elisha is like, he's lost his marbles. Like, he's this guy is delusional. He's growing old, because when I look, all I see is the two of us right here. Like, they weren't with the army of Israel. It was just Gehazi, and it was his mentor, his teacher, the prophet Elisha, and he's looking going, I don't know what he's talking about, because I see all of them out there and they far outnumber us. The odds were stacked against them. So how can it be that an old prophet and his servant have more on their side than this army has on their side? Listen to what Elisha prays in verse 16. Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." A one-sentence, powerful prayer. Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And those nine words lead to what? Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hill of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Elisha prays that this servant will see what God already has in place, and God does it. Like, he opens his eyes, and this servant sees the hills full of horses. He sees the invisible angels all around. We had quite a number of police officers in our church in Cleveland. And I remember one time I asked that. I said, what's some of the equipment that you use that you really find, It was a large police department, and he goes, you know what I really, he said, the night vision goggles that we have are amazing. I would have brought them tonight, but they're like $45,000 a set. I don't know what they cost now, but that's what he told me anyhow. But he goes, Jonathan, he showed me this YouTube video, and he says, look what happens. And he said, when you put these goggles on, like if you just looked at the video without the goggles and it was at night, you saw it was just black, right? Nothing out there. You couldn't even see a tree or anything like that. But he says, put these night goggles on, and it shows in the YouTube what you can see. And you all of a sudden you see a deer out there, and you see, people walking, and you can see a raccoon or whatever it is. You see everything there, right? And he said, Jonathan, this just gives us such an advantage, because he said, we can see things that these eyes can't. Here's what I wonder tonight. What would it be like if we had some like spiritual vision goggles? Imagine just for a second, what would it be like if you put these goggles on tonight? We give everyone a set, and you put them on, you're like, oh, my goodness, right? Like, you see spiritual realities all around you. And there'd be this sense of the closeness and the nearness, not only of, forces arrayed against us, but of God himself with us, Jesus standing at our side, even living within, and you see other people and go, this is amazing. Just because you can see things with these eyes doesn't mean they're not real, right? Friends, I'm convinced if we could get a glimpse of unseen realities that these eyes can't see, I think we'd be overwhelmed, right? If we could just see the presence of an almighty, powerful God, his angels protecting us, watching over us. If we really got to, you think we'd live differently? Mary mentioned that we had a grandchild born like about 8 weeks ago. And little Lucy was born with some significant health challenges. We didn't know what was going to happen early on. I mean, she had a mangioma that covered probably 30 or 40% of her face. But it can be correlated with some other things. So you're in a hospital room and you can feel very desperate. Some of you maybe have been there. You're in a hospital and you just go, God, I have no idea what we're going to do. Like, what does this mean? What does it mean for her future? What does it mean for her treatment and all the rest? But when you can know, you put on those spiritual vision goggles and you say, I know who's with me right now. Like, we're never alone, right? We always have the presence of Almighty. If you put your trust in Him, that you can know that you're never alone. Well, this is what happens to Elisha and his servant. This servant comes to know he's not alone. And he never was and he never would be. Elisha knew it, but now the servant understood it as well. Elisha meant it when he says, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Friends, listen to this. With God, you are never a minority. You're never a minority. The odds are never stacked against you, maybe on a human scale. But when you have the very King of Kings, the risen Lord on your side, we can say with the Apostle Paul, if God is for us, then who what? Can be against us. Who can be against us? So what if we allow the Lord to open our eyes in a greater way even tonight so that we would be more aware of the supernatural, the invisible? You know, this is the way that we honor God. I want to look at a corresponding passage in the New Testament. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, you know how the author of Hebrews provides us with a quick review of history, telling us over and over again how people obeyed God's word by faith. And what is faith back in Hebrews chapter 1, 11, chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So there's this sense of, even if I can't see it, that I have this faith that it's true. I have confidence that it's real. Here's how the New Living Translation puts it. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. In other words, faith allows us to see invisible realities that other people miss. When you're filled with faith, it's having eyes wide open to say, God is in the picture. I know that He's stronger, He's more powerful. There's more chapters to be written. So let's look at one person here, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. Reading about Moses, and it says this about Moses. It says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because, listen to this last little part. I love this. He saw him what? Who is invisible. Moses saw him who is invisible. Think about that for a moment. Why could Moses leave the luxury of Pharaoh's palace? Because he saw the one who is invisible. How did Moses not fear persecution? Because he saw the one who is invisible. How did he persevere in tough times when the people of Israel just drove him crazy? He saw the one who is invisible. That's what the author of Hebrews says, that Moses persevered. In other words, he kept on going. He kept on living out in his faith. Why? Because he saw the one who is invisible. Friends, this just makes all the difference in the world for our walk with Jesus. When we are aware of the supernatural, we're more quick to pray, to say, Jesus, you're with me right now. I just want to talk to you about this. I don't know how to handle this conversation. I don't know what to do in this situation. Lord, I feel fearful right now. Would you help me? But when we live unaware, it's like walking around blindfolded, right? It's really that critical for us to see clearly, to see the invisible. I'm told that A.W. Tozer preached here. Was it actually in this very tabernacle? I don't know. I don't know how old it is. Yeah, it was in this tabernacle. Okay. And so A.W. Tozer, if you're not familiar with who he is, a well-known author, never went beyond high school, but was just, you don't have to graduate even from high school to be a brilliant person, and he was. And here's what he, in one of his books called The Pursuit of God, he wrote this. He said, God and the spiritual world are real. We can reckon upon them with such assurance as we reckon upon the familiar world around us. Our trouble is that we have established bad thought habits. We habitually think of the invisible world as real and doubt the reality of the other. We do not deny the existence of the spiritual world, but we doubt that it is real in the accepted meaning of the word. The object of the Christian's faith is what? Unseen reality. When we came in tonight and we worshiped, we weren't just singing words. We were singing to someone who's actually present among us, right? When we prayed, we're praying to someone who's like, hears us. When we give, we're giving to someone that says, who sees Jesus as your Father, sees every gift that is given. He's that near. See the invisible. Let me mention just three aspects of this, and then we'll. I'd like just to apply to our own lives here in a little bit. But let me mention three areas, arenas, you could say, where we want to be aware of the invisible. Number one, see the Lord's presence. Can I just share how this has made an impact in my own life? This past year has brought a ton of change for Mary and me, and there was a time back the first month where I thought, God, I'm drinking from a fire hose here. And I'm not sure really how to handle this one situation here or this one over here. And I was reading in my time with the Lord when Paul talks about a moment that he says, I was all by myself. He says he was standing trial. And he says, but the Lord was standing beside me. That the Lord, I'm not on trial. My friends haven't abandoned me. But I can still say that's true for me right now, that the Lord is standing beside me. Friends, that you can know when you go back to your room tonight, maybe you're in a room by yourself. You're never by yourself, right? He's always there. When you take a walk or run tomorrow morning or whatever it is you do, if you spend time, I hope, just getting to God's word, he's meeting you there. He's with you. You know, a lot of us, it's easy. I'll just speak for myself to be in, it says about this about Jacob in the Old Testament. Remember one night, Jacob is out. He's just trying to run away from his brother Esau, and he falls asleep on a rock. So you know he must have been really tired. But he wakes up and he's seen a vision, and he says this in Genesis 28. He says, "Surely the Lord was in this place, and I was not aware of it. Surely the Lord was in this place, and I wasn't aware of it." And he ends up calling it Bethel. This is the very house of God, he says. Friends, really anywhere you go can be Bethel. Your workplace is Bethel because he's there. When you go to the fitness place, I go to Planet Fitness, you go to wherever you go, that's your Bethel because he's there. When you're at a family reunion, even if you're like, I don't know if I want to be here, that's your Bethel. You can know that he's there with you. The presence of the Lord is with you wherever you go. Can you picture that for yourself? If you were to put on those spiritual vision goggles, you'd say, wow, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, that there's never a moment that you're not with me. I love how in the Gospel of Matthew, it opens up, it says, you will name him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. You come to the very end of that book, and Jesus makes a promise to his disciples. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, and surely I will be with you always. There's just this assurance of his presence from the beginning to the end that we're never alone. Secondly, see the invisible means that we see the spiritual battle. We're going to talk about this more tomorrow night. But are we aware that we have this invisible yet extremely powerful enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion? One author put it this way. He said, it is possible for God to have all the power and yet for his people to live in total weakness. Let me say it one more time. It's possible for God to have all the power, But for his people to live in total weakness, how? Because we just live without an awareness of his presence. In John 1st chapter, we read this, "You belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory because the Spirit who lives where? In you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." Let me just say that, by the way, if you were to put on those spiritual vision goggles, you would be, if you're a follower of Jesus, you would be tremendously encouraged. You would see some of the demonic, you know, things going on, but you'd say, but the one who is in me, oh my, he is greater than the one who is in the world. Like you're on the winning team. When you have Jesus with you, you need not fear. We want to be aware of the spiritual battle. And then one more, to see the invisible means that we see the people who are invisible to others. You know, there's something about Jesus that, and this was a little bit different, because we can see people, but do we really see them? In Matthew chapter 9, it says that when Jesus looked out and he saw the crowds, what did he see? He saw them as sheep who were like harassed and helpless without a what? Without a shepherd. And it says that he was filled with compassion. Like that was his response. He saw what other people didn't see. He saw into their souls. He saw the helplessness. And they probably, a lot of them had jobs and they're doing fine. They're great. But he saw beyond the exterior, and Jesus saw, and it says he was filled with compassion. Do I respond like that? Like, do I see the needs of people? And do I see the people who are in other parts of the world that other people don't see? You know, that's who we're all about as the Christian Missionary Alliance. And in fact, it's why we were formed. It's our heartbeat that we say, God, there are people all around the world who matter so much to you, for whom you died. And God, we want to see them like you do. God, would you fill our hearts with compassion? And so we do whatever it takes to share the good news, to be delivered to those who need hope. And the Spirit of Jesus is here to help us. He opens our eyes so that you and I can see. Let me close with an account from the biography of John Payton. Maybe you know the story of John Payton. He was a missionary to a group of islands in the South Pacific called the New Hebrides. And John recounts a moonlit night that earlier in his time there, where he and his wife Mary, it was dark outside, and he said, "These suspicious and angry villagers surrounded our house and were frantically like dancing, just jumping up and down," and he said, "the beat of drums," and he said, "we realized there was no way for us to protect ourselves, and we're like, we're done." But he said, "all we could do was we got on our knees and we prayed." He said, "we knew we were no match for this large group." Well, a bit later, the commotion quieted down, and they looked out the window, and these attackers, or the people, had all, like, vanished into the woods. And according to John Payton's biographer, a year later, the chief of that local tribe became a follower of Jesus. And he comes to visit John and Mary, and John says, "hey, can I ask you a question?" He said, "about a year ago, there was this one night that it was, like, there's a whole bunch of you just surrounded our house, and you're like, I mean, we were petrified. We didn't know what to do. We just prayed, asked God to, you know, but we looked out and you were gone." And you know what the guy said? He goes, I'll tell you what happened. He says, "we saw men standing guard, hundreds of big men in shining clothes with swords in their hands, totally circling your home." What did he see? God can give spiritual vision goggles even to unbelievers, right? Skeptic might say, "really? Are you sure that's not made up? A curious legend?" But friends, you know what? The Bible is crystal clear, isn't it? It's like what happened to Elisha's servant. We live in a supernatural world. God's presence is everywhere. So are his angels. It's just as real are enemy forces. John and Mary Payton believed without seeing. The eyes of their heart were opened enough that they knew what to do. They said, "God, we're looking to you. You're the only one who can rescue us tonight." Friends, I don't know what kind of crises and troubles you're facing right now. But in a room this size, and I think what I found just doing life, I've gotten to the age where I know if you sit down with someone for 10 minutes and just say, you get below the surface and you start to say, hey, is there a crisis right now I can be praying with you regarding? And you'll find out that almost every single one of us has a burden that we bear, right? Can we see those tonight in the light of who our great God is? And just pray, God, would you open my eyes? Or would you open the eyes of the people I love, the person I love, and help them to see you as you really are? You're going to see on the screen here, there's going to be a few questions here. And here's what I'd like us to do. This might be a little bit different. I'm new, so you can just blame us. He's the new guy. He doesn't know we don't do this. But here's what I'd like us to do. In groups of three or four, can we take five minutes, and just answer, each one of you pick one of those questions and answer one of them. So each person will not answer all three. Just answer one that you think, okay, this is the one that I think I need right now. And then just take a few moments to pray for each other. Can we do that? So if you each take like 1 minute to share, and then a couple of you can pray. And let's just ask God to have his way and to open our eyes to see him for who he really is. I'm going to add, Matt who is on the keyboard up here? Is he still here? Can you come up and just play that Open the Eyes of My Heart as we're, is that okay? Does that work? And let's do that. So let's take these next 5 minutes, just with a few people nearby. If you're sitting by yourself, just find a couple of others nearby. And then in 5 minutes, I'll come back up and we'll pray. Okay? All right, let's begin to discuss and ask God to speak to us.
Thank you. you want to go to prayer in the next little bit, and then I'll come up in a minute to close this. As you're wrapping up, I'll read Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. What He wants us to know, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened so that we could just know the riches of what we have in Him. What a great God we have, and what a great salvation. Amen. Hey, let's stand together. Team's going to lead us in a final song. Just remember that He's here. Our great Savior is here listening for our worship. Let's worship Him together.
Your name, and your name. He is all authority.
Your name stands above them all.
Jesus!
Your name is the highest.
Your name
is the greatest.
Your name
stands above them all.
Jonathan, I love that image. If you could only see what's moving in the air right now. If you had a spectrometer, you would be able to see there's Wi-Fi signals and radio signals. There's ultraviolet lights. There are things beyond our vision that we cannot see. And as we just heard, there is a God who's moving. And we don't have to see it. We're called to know it. So today, tonight, maybe this is you. Maybe you're tired of not seeing. You're tired of holding on to something. We're trusting with the wrong things. And so tonight, we just had a great call. So please, my heart is for you to know that there is a God who is moving in the ways that we can't see. So, thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you. All right. Snack Shack is open. I'm going to let some time go here for you to be able to work through this, because I can only imagine what you're going through or what you only want God to move in, and maybe you want to run right up here and talk and be able to just expound on what this means for me. But please, as we go, let's go knowing that God is moving in this place. Be blessed.
Worthy is the land. You are holy.
Thank you. Thank you.